Well, here we are in Vallegas, and of course there's such a wealth of material, it's hard to know exactly what to choose, but on the other hand, we have to make a choice. So I want to analyze the Parsha a little bit, the psukim, of the dramatic moment when Yosef makes himself known to the brothers. There's a lot that we can learn there, which will help us to reinforce some of the ideas which we started thinking about in the earlier Parshias. Now, the psukim are really very interesting. Even without looking at the Mefarshim, just by reading what it says in the Chumash, there's so much that we can learn over here. Let's start at Mem Hei, Posuk Dalet. Vayomer Yosef el Echov, Geshuno Elai, Vayigoshu. He's going to reveal himself to them. Vayomer, and he says, Ani Yosef Achechem, Asher Mechatem Osi Mitzroimo. I am your brother Yosef, whom you sold over here. Now, what on earth did he say that for? Why did he have to say, I am Yosef, whom you sold? I mean, they knew very, very well that they had sold him there. What? Why does he have to introduce himself as though there were another Yosef around whom they hadn't sold? Obviously, that doesn't make any sense. So what does this posuk mean? I am Yosef, whom you sold over here. Clearly, he's laying the groundwork for the comfort that he is about to give them. And that is, look, you sold me over here. You sold me as a slave. Now, how much derech hateva is there that a person who was sold as a slave suddenly turns up to be the Mishneh Lamelach? Something is going on over here. That must be the Yad Hashem which is active. And that is the beginning and that is the introduction to his whole argument. What does he say? Va'ato al te'otzevu. Now that you see that the brother whom you sold as a slave is now the Mishneh Lamelach, so ato, now that it has sunk into you that something supernatural has happened over here, al te'otzevu, don't be sad about what you did. Val yichabei nechem, don't make yourself guilt feelings. Ki mechatem oisehenu, that you sold me over here. There's a very simple answer for that. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam acting, as we'll soon see. Ki lemichyo shlochani Elokim lifnechem. This whole episode is the Ribbono Shel Olam pulling the strings behind the scenes. And what does he want to accomplish? Lemichyo shlochani Elokim lifnechem. That you should have somebody to feed you. Chai, to keep you alive.
We've
only had 2 years of the anticipated 7 years. So what are we going to do then? How are you going to eat? Even how you managed to scrape past in the first 2 years, it's not going to help you for the next five. So therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam, knowing that, Vayishlocheni Elokim lifnechem, Losum lochem she'eris ba'oretz. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted that you should be able to continue existing in the land. And that is why the Ribbono Shel Olam sent me here. And that as a result of this, ulehachayos lochem lifleito gedolo. That there should be a pleito gedolo, polit. Plato is somebody who escapes a dangerous situation. For example, by Yovel HaPolit, by Avraham. So it was somebody who escaped the war of the Arba Melochem and the Chamisha Melochem. Here, you're escaping the famine. So the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted that you should be a Plato Gedoilo. And now he draws the conclusion, Va'ato lo atem shelachtem osiheno, ki ho elam kim. Why did he do that? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam want that I should become the Melech in Mitzrayim? The Ribbono Shel Olam needs me to be a Melech in Mitzrayim. The answer is yes. He needs me to be a Melech in Mitzrayim because lemichyo shlochani. The only way that I can be a michyo for you, the only way that I can be somebody who guarantees your life that you'll have enough to eat, is by making me a Melech. And now if you go back every step of what happened, you'll see that everything that happened is takad hashgocha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How did I become a Melech? Because I interpreted Pharaoh's dream. How did he know to call on me? Because I was together with the Sarah Oifim and the Sarah Mashkim. Why was I together with them? Because I was in jail. Why was I in jail? Because Ashes Potiphar wanted to get even with me. Why was I doing in Potiphar's house? Because he bought me from the Yishmaelim. So every step of the way is simply a means of bringing about that result of Michya. This whole thing is one big act of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that he told his brothers in order to comfort them, apparently. Now, the truth is that I've said that it's in order to comfort them, but really there's something which makes me wonder about that. Was it really in order to comfort them? Because I have a problem. Like, why did Yosef plunge into this philosophical presentation about the Hashgacha of the Ribbono Shel Olam immediately after he introduced himself to the brothers without giving them any chance at all to react? Here he goes and he shocks them. I am Yosef. And so why didn't he wait a couple of minutes and let them come to themselves and say, what, you're Yosef? But now that we feel so bad, you must be so mad at us. No, I'm not mad at you, because really I see that the whole thing is a hashgacha over here. Like, it seems unnatural that immediately after he introduces himself, without even giving them a chance to react to the thing, the pasuk says, "Kinivalu lefon befonav." They were completely messed up. They were ashamed, Rashi says. They were confused. What's going on over here? 2 minutes ago, we were standing in front of a Mishnah Lemelech, and now we know that we're standing in front of our brother Yosef. So are they even attuned to what he's saying over here, to take comfort from what he's saying over here? And the truth is, if truth be told, it could be that it really isn't such a comfort for them at all. How do I know that? Because in Vayechi, after Yaakov Avinu dies, again they were afraid that maybe Yosef would want to take vengeance. And therefore they came and asked him to forgive them. So we see that even after they had time to think things over, they didn't feel that what Yosef had told them over here was really a comfort or an assurance to them that they had nothing else to worry about. And the reason is poshut, because although Yosef made it clear to them that everything that happened must have been the Yad Hashem, as I say, pulling the strings behind the scenes, but really that does not putter them from their bad intentions. Obviously, if somebody kills somebody, he can't say, well, look, it's the Yad Hashem, he wanted this person to die, so I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You murdered him, and you weren't supposed to murder him. How is the Ribbono Shel Olam going to bring about his rotzen that this man should die? Habeshluchim lamokam, but you were not allowed to kill him. So certainly, even after Yosef's presentation, that, look, it's all the Yad Hashem, the brothers, upon sober reflection, must have realized that they still had a lot to worry about, because this does not at all address the question of their hatred and of the really terrible thing which they did to Yosef. So we'll see about that as we go over from studying this part in Vayigash to go over to Vayechi and see what it says over there. But in the meantime, I suspect that maybe my saying before that Yosef was doing all this to comfort the brothers, maybe that was a little premature. I have a different thought. I think that maybe the reason why Yosef sort of jumped into this whole biur without even giving them a chance to react at all to the fact that he was Yosef, I think that maybe he had a different thing in mind. I think what Yosef was doing over here was to say, you know what, for all these years that I've been in Mitzrayim, this dream, which was the source of everything which happened between us, why did you hate me sufficiently to sell me to Mitzrayim? Because of the dream which I dreamt. Hine anachnu ma'almim alumim. This is the dream. It must have been a moment of such enormous satisfaction to Yosef. He was saying to his brothers, you know, everything is explained. You must realize now that I was right with the dream. What was my dream? You remember we talked about that the dream really wasn't threatening. Yosef is standing in the field working together with other brothers. He's not pretending to any kingship. He is just his sheaf is standing up. His aluma is standing up. He, a piece of food. I am lemichya. This is mamish, the dream in all its details. Ki lemichya shlochani. It's not Mr. Yosef in whom the Rebbe Nishon was interested. He was interested in having a means of michya. And what was that michya, therefore? Ulahachayos lochem lifleitor gedola. So that's all. I'm just a chunk of bread. And the Rebbe Nishon sent me here le michya. Do you see now how real that dream was? And that really you had nothing to be scared about. And if you look back now and you realize that our father Yaakov intuited that I would once have such a role, and because of that he gave me the Ksoinas Pasim, he's telling the brothers, look, everything turned out well. All the sibbas for your hatred for me really sort of disappears when you consider what has happened over here and how each step of what happened is obviously the Yad Hashem. So, look, we can be friends now. Nothing has to stand between us anymore, because it's so obvious that the dream which originally made you angry or made you afraid of me, really there was no reason for that at all. And I think that that is really what Yosef said, and that is why he jumped straight into it. Because after all those years, Yosef must have had those dreams in his mind still. And the truth is that when the brothers first came, and he saw the brothers coming, and he saw the brothers bowing, and the whole thing centered around bread, he must have said, wow, this is the dream. Now I understand the dream correctly. And that's the first thing he told them. Brothers, listen to me. I'm Yosef. Let's love one another. Look, we see now what the original dream meant, and that you really had nothing to be afraid from that dream. That is what I think is the meaning of this very dramatic confrontation of Yosef to the brothers. Not one word about anything personal. The brothers didn't say we were mean, and Yosef didn't say, look, it's okay, I'll forgive you. None of that. All he's saying is, wow, all of us together have been over here parts of the Rebbe Nishon's Hashgacha. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that has happened. And what a great thing this is, what we have all experienced, to see how the Rebbe Nishon sent me that dream years and years and years ago in order to presage this wonderful experience which we all had. That is the, I think, the ritzui which Yosef offers the brothers over here, and we're not yet talking at all about the brothers' motivation. Now, like we said before, the brothers must have still carried around in their minds, well, it's all very true, and it was Taka the Yad Hashem, but our motivation wasn't so kosher. So maybe Yosef is carrying that around in his heart, and while he doesn't want to worry Yaakov, but once Yaakov is dead, maybe he's going to try and take vengeance. And that is the Pasha in Vayichi. This one is in Perek Nun, and it starts in Perek Yutes. So Vayoyma Aleim Yosef. Oh, so there the brothers came, because immediately when Yaakov died, they started worrying. Why did they start worrying? Didn't they remember the story in Vayigash? Yeah, they remember the story in Vayigash. And they Taka saw, wow, this was the dream, and now we saw that everything was the Yad Hashem, but we had bad intentions. So they go over to Yosef and they say, please forgive us. What does Yosef say to them? Vayoyma lehem Yosef al tiro ki hatachas elokim anoche. Number one, it's not my job to take vengeance. I'm not the Rebbe Nishon, but you're business is with the Rebbe Nishon. The Rebbe Nishon will act towards you in whatever way it's appropriate to act towards you. That is not my geschäft. You don't have to worry about me. Now, v'atem chashavtem olai ro'o, I agree with you. The emes is that you were choshev ro'o. But look, why should I have hakpoda against you? Elokim chashavo letovo. The Rebbe Nishon changed it letovo. My relationship to the Rebbe Nishon is a more intimate relationship than my relationship to you. It's true you're my brothers, but you see that brothers can sometimes think something bad and plan something bad for their brother. But why should I mind? The Rebbe Nishon turned it all good. Elokim chashavo letovo. And why? Leman aso kayom hazeh lahachayos am rov. Now that's such an exciting pasuk, because this pasuk taka parallels what happened over there in Vayigash and the Pasha which we just now discussed. It's not mamish the same words, but in both cases Yosef stresses that the Rebbe Nishon sent me here in order to make sure that everybody will have enough to eat. But whereas in Vayigash he says that my purpose here is to leave you lefleito gedoyla, that there should be a Prater Gedoyla, like we talked about what Polit means, a salvation, people who are salved, refugees from a danger. Here it says a very different Lashon, and we have to ask ourselves why. Let's see what the Lashon is. He says again, Elakim Hashavola Talva, why? Leman aso kayom hazeh lehachayos am rav. Now what on earth does am rav mean? And why does he say kayom hazeh? These are two differences between his ritzui over here in Vayechi and the ritzui in Vayigash. There it was, there should be a she'eres and you should be a plater gedoyla. That's understandable. But what's this am rav? How big did the family, how big was the family at this point? I mean, Yaakov came with 70 nefoshes. No, and there wasn't this kasha ya'anu also ken yerbe v'chen yefreitz. That didn't happen until the shibbutz started. So in those few years that they've been in Mitzrayim, how much can the family have grown? Let's say another 30 children, another 40, 50. So we're talking about 120 people, 110, whatever we're talking about. That's not an amrov. What does Yosef mean by lahachios amrov? And what is this kayom hazeh? If kayom hazeh means something, why didn't Yosef use that same kayom hazeh earlier? So we have some thinking to do over here. Now the truth is that the apparent inappropriateness of the amrov over here, the Medrash asks in Lekach Toiv, he asks, what's this amrov? So he said, an amrov in generations. We had four generations over here. The great-grandfather, the grandfather, those are the shvatim, then the fathers and the great-grandchildren. So we had four generations, which can be called an amrov, not because there's so many individuals in the family, but because of the number of generations. Fine, so we have a pshat. But the truth is that that's really only ex post facto. You have such a strange lashon, so b'di'evet we can find a meaning for it. But why use such an expression? Why use an expression which requires a midrashic explanation? Why not use the she'eres or the plater gedoyla of the earlier parsha? What are we supposed to do with this amrov over here, really? But the emes is, when we think about it, remember what we talked in the last shiur, that Yosef, his golus in Mitzrayim, was as a mini-av of Klal Yisrael, that Yosef, by withstanding the nisyonos of the Eishes Potiphar, would become the av instead of Yaakov Avinu to see us through our dreadful golus, to make sure that although and in spite of the thousands of years that we've spent in golus and the terrible, terrible, terrible nisyonos which we had to go through, that in spite of all that, the Klal Yisrael will be around when the Mashiach finally comes. Yosef, the Even Yisrael, if you remember, Av and Ben, the Even Yisrael who brings father and children together, will be able to bring us, Klal Yisrael, to Yaakov and say, look, this is your base, Yaakov. It's been wounded terribly during the Golos. There are many, many of them which have become lost. But the essential base, Yaakov, is still here. That is the real Amrov. The Hachrios Lohem Amrov is the Am which we will be in Yetz Hashem when Mashiach comes, and he will be able to bring us back to Yaakov Avinu. That was the purpose of his Golus in Mitzrayim. So what does the Kayom Hazeh mean? Oh, because the Kayom Hazeh makes a lot of sense. Because Kayom Hazeh means, just like today, I have proved to be a salvation for my family, so too in the end, in the Achres Hayomim, I will become the salvation of the whole of Klal Yisrael. That's the Kayom Hazeh. So, to the extent that Amrov refers to Kayom Hazeh in its sense of saving the actual family, well, we can learn, like the Lekach Tov, that it's called an Amrov because of the four generations. But really what the Pasuk means, in its real and total sense, is the Achris Hayomim, is the Amrov of Achris Hayomim, the way we explained it. And that is very, very clearly the Mahalach of this Parsha in Vayechi as opposed to the earlier Parsha in Vayigash. So once we've got that, we can get back to our answer to the question which we asked earlier. Like, what exactly exonerates the brothers? You remember that we said in Vayigash, the point which Yosef had made was only that everything was Min HaShemayim. But we said, but in Vayechi, the brothers started worrying again. It's true that everything was Hashgocha and everything was Min HaShemayim, but we still had ugly motivations, and Yosef might be angry with us for that. So in what way does he answer that? Oh, so the way we understand the Parsha now, the answer is simple. The answer is, with the Yesoides which we learned in last week's Parsha, if Yosef is going to be the Mini-Av, who's going to look after us in Golos, and who's going to bring us back eventually to Yaakov Avinu's embrace, he had to do that without having the support of Yaakov. And that's why he didn't tell Yaakov that he was alive. He had to do that by forgetting the base Oviv. That's why he called Menashe Kinashani. And by the same token, he had to do it without feeling the support of his brothers. He had to be totally alone, totally, utterly alone. No family, no father, no home, no nothing. Only himself and his own Yiras Shamayim and his own integrity. That is what he has to take with him if he comes with us into the dreadful Golos which we have had to experience. And that is what Yosef said. Look, Elokim chashavo letovo. It's true that chashavtem olai ro. That's true. But the emes is that the Rebbein Shalom turned that into something good. What's that good? Into what the Rebbein Shalom turned it? Well, what the Rebbein Shalom turned it is the ability for me to live through this unsupported, very, very difficult episode in my life, and that is machshir me for my destiny in the history of Klal Yisrael, to be able, because of the example which I set, and because of what I was kaveya in Klal Yisrael, as the mini-av, as the expansion ke'ilu of Yaakov Avinu, to be able to make sure that when Klal Yisrael is in Golos, they will also be able to come back unsullied, unfilthed by the experiences of the Golos. And that is the shot in the pius which Yosef gave the brothers in Vayechi. It's a completely different set of ideas and a different set of approaches than the ones in Vayigash. But between the two of them, what it does is that it recreates the kiyum of the two chalomos.